What Remains of Edith Finch, narrated by Sir Fox. A lot of this isn't going to make sense to you, and I'm sorry about that. I'm just going to start at the beginning, with the house. I lived here until I was 11, but I wasn't allowed inside half of the rooms. Someone had put up a chain link fence, but it looked like I wasn't the first one to hop it. My brother Milton disappeared when I was 4. It was like the house just swallowed him up. Inside the mailbox were bills from 7 years ago, marked urgent, open immediately. I hadn't been back since my brother Louis's funeral. In her will, my mother left me a key, but didn't tell me what it unlocked. Maybe she thought I'd know, or she thought the mystery would be enough to bring me back. The truth is, even after I inherited the house, I never thought I'd come back to it. But now I had questions about my family that only the house knew the answers to. No one had driven this way in a long time, but I saw a few hoof prints. The woods around the house have always been uncomfortably silent, as if they're about to say something, but never do. The house was exactly like I remembered it, the way I've been dreaming about it. As a child, the house made me uncomfortable in a way I couldn't put into words. Now, as a 17-year-old, I knew exactly what those words are. I was afraid of the house. I asked Edie once about the dragon in the pond. She said it killed her husband. I was 6. It seemed like an odd joke to me, even then. I hoped the key might unlock the front door. It didn't. Looking in, I felt like the house itself had been waiting for me. The house felt like it had always been here. Even the swing set was older than my mother. I heard something moving around in the garage. The garage. Crawling through my doggy door used to be a lot easier when I was 11. The power had been turned off the night we left. For the first time in years. The kitchen. I felt like I was home, but instead of a family, there were just memories of one. Like how after Louis started working at a cannery, we all got sick of eating salmon, except our cat Molly. Like only one restaurant would deliver to our house, so we had Chinese a lot. The dining room. The table was still a wreck from the night we left. It was like a bomb had gone off, killing everyone but sparing the furniture. My mother was the only one of us who could imagine great-grandma Edie living in a nursing home. The living room. Nothing in the house looked abnormal. There was just too much of it, like a smile with too many teeth. Even the fireplace had a story. Edie told me the bricks came from the original house after it sank. The foyer. Edie told me once every Finch who ever lived is buried somewhere in the library. A lot of things got left behind in the whirlwind of that last night. My mom wasn't much of an optimist, but she never stopped believing that my brother Milton was alive. Great-grandpa's van built a music box for Barbara, along with the rest of the house. Mom always told me to stay out of the basement, so I wasn't too surprised when the key didn't fit. After Milton disappeared, Mom sealed up the bedrooms, then Edie retaliated and drilled peepholes. Molly always seemed like a girl I could imagine being friends with, if she hadn't died in 1947. As a kid, I just assumed every house had peepholes and sealed rooms you weren't allowed inside of. My grandpa Sam spent 7 years sharing a room with his dead brother, Calvin. Barbara was a child star for 2 years, until America grew out of it. Whenever people ask me about my family, the first thing they always want to know about is Barbara. Edie's father Odin built the original house. The last time I was in Edith Senior's room, I was 10, and she was painting my portrait. Mom must have locked the third floor stairs on the night we left. Walter's room. I spent a lot of time playing in great uncle Walter's room. I think my mom sometimes regretted not sealing it up. Louis told me there were secret passages, but I never believed him. Turns out, my mom was really good at keeping secrets. Now it was time to find out what my mom had been afraid of. From the paintings on the wall, it was clear my brother Milton had been here before me. Reading this, maybe it sounds like I had a plan, but I had no idea what was behind that door. Molly's room. Just like I had no idea where this was all going to lead, I grew up looking at Molly's room through the peephole. Molly's gerbil had a tiny bedroom with its own tinier gerbil cage. Being inside for the first time, I felt like I'd stepped behind a painting. I got the sense Edie had spent a lot of time here before my mom sealed the doors. December 13th, 1947. Dear Diary, I'll be gone soon, but I wanted to tell somebody about what's going to happen. It started when Mom sent me to bed without dinner. I woke up and I was starving, so I looked around for... My Halloween candy was all gone. Mom, can I come out now?
Sweetheart, it's late. Go to sleep.
I thought about eating Christopher, but I held back. The gerbil food was dry, but I didn't mind it. I kept eating and eating. I ate a lot of things that night. Then I heard chirping outside my window. It was a barn swallow going back to her nest. I reached out to her, and suddenly, I was a cat. I tried to be quiet, but the bird was really scared. Mom and Dad didn't even look at me. I jumped and I almost got her. I could tell she was getting really tired. Now I was up in the big tree. I promised that I wouldn't climb it anymore, but all I cared about was eating that mama bird. I gobbled her up, and suddenly I was an owl. First, all I heard was the wind. Then I heard Little Teeth nibbling in the grass. I imagined his face looking up and seeing mine through my talons. I swallowed him up and I didn't chew one bit. Then I flew off to find something bigger. She was almost too big to carry. I started choking, but I couldn't stop eating. And suddenly, I was a shark. I rolled off a cliff and into the ocean. Now I'm hungrier than ever. I wanted fat, juicy seals. I tore off her flipper and it tasted really good. I grabbed on tight, but I was so hungry. I jumped out of the water. When I opened my eyes, everything had changed. Now I was a monster. And I smelled people everywhere. I was big, but I moved real quiet. I wanted to stop, but also I didn't. After the last passenger, I was still hungry. And across the water, I smelled something new. Something I had to have. So I swam towards it. I slid it onto the sand and the good smell went into an old pipe. I got closer and closer. All my stomach started growling. And suddenly, I was me again. I held my breath for a long time, but I couldn't hear anything. I think it's waiting for me to fall asleep, but it's not going to wait any longer. It needs to feed, and we both know I will be delicious. I'm not sure if I believe all that, but I'm sure Edie would have. I can't describe it, but I felt like some part of Molly was still here. This would be obvious later, but my mom never told me any of these stories. Edie would have, but Mom didn't like bringing up the past. Though when we adopted a stray kitten, she was the one who named it Molly. Edie's room. I spent a lot of time in great-grandma Edie's room. We got along and it was a good place to hide from my mom. When Edie told people Sven was killed by a dragon, she could also have said he was building a dragon-shaped slide that collapsed. She could have, but she didn't. I hadn't thought of myself as Edith Jr. for a long, long time. One summer, they evacuated the island, but Edie refused to go. For a few weeks, she was a celebrity. Edie gave a big interview about a mole man living under the Finch house. My mom was furious. Louis died a week before we left, but Edie already started to memorialize him. Edie knit me a new pair of gloves every year, just in time to replace the old ones. Her room was like a museum. For 500 years, the Finches had been famous throughout Norway for their fortune and misfortune. Odin Finch buries the latest victims of the family curse, his wife Ingeborg and their newborn son Johan. On January 7, 1937, he set sail with his family and his house, hoping to leave the curse behind. But 40 foot waves off the coast of Washington sent the house and Odin to the bottom of the sea. Odin's daughter, Edie, with husband Sven and baby Molly, stepped ashore on their new home, Orcas Island. Odin Finch is the first to be buried in a new family cemetery. His daughter Edie is already dreaming of a new Finch house. Whatever's wrong with this family goes back a long ways. Even in her 90s, Edie seems a lot younger than my mother. The only trace Grandpa Sam's first wife Kay left on the house was a pink bathroom. It was a pretty big trace. There's a secret in this bathroom. It's in the last place you would look. It isn't a cupboard. It's hidden in this book. Sven gave Sam an old camera he'd refurbished. He never put it down. Kelvin and Sam's room. I knew Grandpa Sam had a twin and that he never talked about him. I guess my grandpa didn't like history as much as my mom did. How I Want to Remember My Brother by Sam Finch. The thing I remember is that he made up his mind. That was it. My brother said he'd die before he ate another mushroom. And he did. At Barbara's funeral, we swore we'd never be afraid again. And he wasn't. I think Kelvin always wanted to fly.
Sam, Kelvin, dinner's ready.
Coming.
But that day, he finally made up his mind to do it. I told him going around was impossible. Maybe if I hadn't said it.
Kelvin, I'm not going to tell you again.
Or maybe if the wind hadn't picked up. Then maybe he'll still be here. But I doubt it. I think he already made up his mind that what I want to remember about my brother, the day he made up his mind to fly, and he did. Kelvin's story felt strangely familiar. When I was younger, I tried to do the exact same thing. After the funeral, Edie roped off Kelvin's half of the room. Mom said Grandpa Sam enlisted at 18 and never set foot in the room again. The passages were a pretty tight fit. They'd obviously been built for smaller hands and bellies. Barbara's room. Growing up, I always thought of Barbara as a child star. I never thought of how hard it must have been for her afterwards. Of all the stories about Barbara's death, I'm surprised that Edie saved this one. Edie told me all Barbara wanted was to be remembered, as absurd as that comic was. Maybe what Edie saw was a happy ending. I guess now I know why Mom didn't like me playing with the music box. It's funny, all those times I played with the music box never found the basement key. Mom said the basement was off limits, unless I wanted another Titanus shop. I saw Edie sneak down to the basement once, carrying packages. I thought maybe she was hiding presents. Walter's bunker. It turned out she was hiding a lot more than that. I remember asking Mom once about where Walter had gone. She said after Barbara died, he got as far away as he could. If there's a pattern in all these stories, I think it's that none of us has gotten very far. Goodbye, everyone. I can't believe I've been down here for 30 years. On that first day, after that shaking started, I didn't think I'll survive a week. But after a few days, I settled into a routine. That's what kept me sane, having a schedule, living for today. I always expected to be dead tomorrow, but if you wait long enough, you'll get used to anything, even a monster. On the other side of the door, starting to feel normal, almost friendly. And then one day, everything just stopped. Whatever that thing was, it was gone. Maybe it got tired of waiting. Or maybe I just got tired of being afraid. It's been a week now. The longest in 30 years. I'm done waiting. I have to leave while I still can. I know he's out there somehow. Whatever killed Barbara, and Molly, and Kelvin. Maybe this was all a mistake. But I need to stop leaving the same day. Even if it kills me. Whatever's out there, I want you to know that I'm ready for it. I'm going to appreciate all of it, especially the food. I don't mind if I only have a year left, or a month, or a single week. I'll be happy with just one new day. I can already imagine the sun on my face. Walter died when I was 6. I can't believe my mom never told me he was down there. I'm sure my mom was trying to protect me. Maybe she was afraid I'll end up like Walter. If she never told me about an uncle under the house, I can only imagine what else she was hiding. I don't want to make the same mistake she made, trying to bury something that's still alive. Finch Cemetery. Now, there's only one of us left, or maybe two. I thought it was time I heard the stories for myself and found out what happened to everyone else. But now I'm worried the stories themselves might be the problem. Maybe we believe so much in a family curse, we made it real. I don't know if I should be writing this. Maybe it'd be better if all this just died with me. But I thought you should know about your family and the history you're a part of. Though to be honest, I probably feel as lost as you do right now. I think the people in this story believed them, for what that's worth. And when you look at the house, at the history of imagination, and stubbornness and madness, any of it seems possible. I think we've been surrounded by death for so long we've just gotten used to it. What kind of family finishes building a cemetery before starting the house? It's embarrassing for me to admit this, but the pet cemetery made me more uncomfortable than the human ones. 3 of the gerbils were mine and 2 have been my fault. Sven built a house, but it was Edie who designed the cemetery. I'm sure Odin's monument had been Edie's idea. My mom was always trying to move on, but for Edie, the past never went away. She could see poking out of the water at low tide. Edie said she dreamed about the old house every night. Edie's side was always easier for me to understand. But the older I get, the more I can see where my mom was coming from. Her dad had been pretty strict, but it wasn't enough to save her brothers. She was just trying to do better. She lost 2 of her brothers just like I did. I get why she tried so hard to protect us. We never found Milton's body. So Mom insisted we were putting up a monument, not a tombstone. There's so many things I wish I could ask my mother now. Part of me thinks this is what she wanted all along, for me to come back someday and find everything out for myself. But looking back on it now, if she told me there was going to be so much climbing, I never would have come when I was 22 weeks pregnant. Sam's room. I never met Grandpa Sam, but but I think he and my mom had a lot in common. They were both pretty intense. Sam spent his life shooting photos, but mom said he got nervous being in front of the camera. I guess we're all afraid of something. Instead of hiding from death, Sam seemed to go out of his way to meet it. Of all these stories, that's the one I wish most that my mom had told me. After Sam died, my mom and Edie got really close. They both lost it a lot. Gregory, Don, and Gus Asparagus. Dear Kay, do you remember the way Gregory used to laugh when he thought he was alone? Like something was happening but only he could see it. I think he saw things the rest of us don't.
Bath time's over. Gregory, it's time to...
Hold on, sweetie. Hello, Sam. I told you I don't want to talk right now. I wonder what he saw. What his world was like. He reminded me so much of Kelvin, lost in his imagination. I can't imagine my mom ever writing poetry, and yet, she kept a lot of secrets from me. A poem for Gus, who always said the wedding was a bad idea. My father never hit us kids, at least not very hard. Before the day my brother said, with teenage disregard, that he'd be dead before he'd see a wedding in our yard. My father made him come, of course, but Gus stood far apart, just flew his kite and bottled up the storm inside his heart. I tried to talk him out of it, but though he never met her, "We don't need a stepmom," were the words that I remember. When the time for photos came, Dad ordered him to come here. But Gus declined and as a sign held up his middle finger. The wind picked up and panicked geese appeared and quickly went. But all that the human did that day was to go inside the tent. The rain came down in buckets, then no one seemed afraid. The nature might destroy the tent our father had crudely made. The thunder sounded much too close and full of anger power. But all my father said to this was, "Make the music louder." I wish that I could truly say I thought about you on that day. Out there on the beach alone, just you and the wind, the sea and the foam. But I didn't, until we found you. She never talked about him, but mom told me once that if I was a boy, they were going to name me Gus. Dawn's loved. My mom moved up the loft after her brothers died. At the time, it was as far away as she could get. Religion was another thing my mom never talked about, but I think it helped her a lot when her dad died. She spent a summer building houses in Calcutta when she met my father, Sanjay. My mom moved to India a week after the graduation and got a job teaching English. Louis was born a year later. When my dad died, I don't think my mom knew where else to go. I'm sure Edie was happy to have her back and to see the kids in the house again. The house had to get a little bigger, but Edie was used to that. And for a while, things were good, almost normal. But it didn't last long. Milton's Tower. The beginning of the end was Milton's 10th birthday, when Edie gave him a castle. After Milton disappeared, the only thing he left behind was a room full of paintings. I think Edie was happy to finally have another painter in the family. Milton Finch in The Magic Paintbrush. I was 4 when Milton disappeared. Mom spent months looking for my brother. Then she sealed the doors. Whatever Milton had found in the house, Mom didn't want it getting out. Louis's boat. Mom definitely blamed Edie, but I think Louis blamed himself. After he graduated, he just spent more and more time in his room. Everyone always told me to stay out of Louis's room, except Louis. Louis's room smelled very, very familiar. That part of him lived on. Louis and I spent a lot of time playing games together, but he was surprisingly bad at them. He died a lot. He was so proud of being Indian. I think for him it was a way to be something other than just a Finch. My brother was really cool. I wish you could have met him. On the way back from Lewis's funeral, my mom told me to start packing. She waited until the day before we left to tell Edie. I'm not sure if she wanted to make it easier or harder. Edith's room. I wish we'd stay, but I understand why we left. My mom ended up leaving everything behind. What happened that night had been coming for a long time. Maybe it should have come sooner, but it had to end one way or another. All that's left now is to tell you about that last night. That the whole day, Edie just watched us packed and didn't say a word. Until supper when she raised her glass and said, "To our final night together, and all our final nights apart." I kicked and screamed, but Mom dragged me to the car. I never saw Great-Grandma Edie again. The next morning the van came to pick her up, but she's already gone. After that, we moved around a lot. We both tried to make the best of it. A few years went by. My mom didn't like to talk about it, but she started getting sick a lot. The rest happened pretty quickly. She got better for a while, and then she didn't. And then I was alone. The last Finch left alive. Until I found out about you, I'm still not sure what to tell you about all this. If we live forever, maybe we have time to understand things. But as it is, I think the best we can do is try to open our eyes and appreciate how strange and brief all of this is. This journal was supposed to be for you, but now I hope you'll never see it. I just want to meet you and tell all these stories myself. But I guess if you're reading this now, things didn't work out that way. This is where your story begins. I'm sorry I won't be there to see it. It's a lot to ask, but I don't want you to be sad that I'm gone. I want you to be amazed that any of us ever had a chance to be here at all. Good luck. The end.